Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
17 tickets left for my annual stand-up taping. All right. We're seeing about adding new seats, but right now that's all we got. KeithandtheGirl.com/tickets. I'm rating. Please be there. How you doing, Chemda?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm excited about your show.
Thank you. You coming?
Yeah, I'll be there.
16 tickets left. today's guest, you know her, you love her, Micah Fox!
Yeah! Hi! Welcome back, Keith.
And her boyfriend, Richie.
Hello.
Richie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I go, Richie, am I saying your last name right? Tallway. And he goes, yeah, Tallway, you know, whatever. I'm like, Richie, I want to say it right.
Tallway.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you originally said?
I probably said more Tallway instead of Tollway. He'd like to be on a toll.
Oh, I could see why he wanted to shut this down.
Right.
It's riveting.
My name's pronounced Fox.
Fox or folks?
It's Fox. MicahFox.com. Sorry,
your PR person did tell us not to talk too much to Richie and more to you.
Thank you. That was me.
Last time Micah was on is with Justy Dodge, which, what a coincidence, because Richie does a podcast now with Justy.
Uh-huh.
What a web we weave.
This was in December. And you, Mike, was talking about the relationship she was in with, I don't want to put you on the spot, I'm going to guess it's Richie, was 1 year, 1 year long.
Wait, this was in December?
Yeah. You said your upcoming 1 year anniversary.
Oh, this December. What year is this?
Oh my God.
The upcoming December, Mike.
She's afraid that we're about to ask her to do math. How long have you been dating?
No, Mike. I literally was like, wait, I was on, yes. Almost a year. That's about right.
Right. I wasn't asking. I was just saying, huh? How about that? What's the longest relationship you ever had, Micah Fox?
Almost 3 years.
3 years. So we have to beat that to know it's real, right?
Nope, because that one didn't work out.
Richie, do you get introduced as Micah's boyfriend a lot?
No.
No?
No.
Sorry, dude.
Just here.
Richie, I don't know if you know this, Micah. Richie has been married before.
What?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Are you still married?
I didn't want you to find out like this.
Richie, how long were you married?
2 years, 2.5 years.
Is that, now it seems everybody's getting divorced, so who cares? But is that a thing? Is that a mark on somebody, Micah?
Yeah. I mean.
Does it affect you at all?
No, it doesn't affect me. Why should it? I didn't marry him. It's not my divorce. He's not even the first divorce guy I've dated.
Right. But it's never.
See, that's a mark on her.
Right.
She dates divorced dudes.
Yes, it bothers some people. You know, some people, it bothers them if the person they're into wasn't in a relationship for a long time.
That's true.
Yeah. I think that's weirder than being married and divorced.
Okay.
You know, when you marry someone, it's like, hey, I can commit.
Right.
But only for 3 years.
Well, you know, it also says, you know, I'm an impetuous idiot. You know, there's a lot going on.
I have heard Richie say before that there is no point for him to get married again.
Right. I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah. Is that a shame, Micah?
No.
You did it before, but you already know you don't want to do it with somebody you like better?
What?
Huh?
I never did it before. What? What's the question?
Come on.
Are you asking me if I want to marry Richie?
Yes.
I do!
You're from Arizona?
Yeah.
Is that correct? And Micah happens to be from Arizona also?
Yeah.
Look coincidence. At
this. And you didn't meet, obviously, until you were in New York.
That's right.
Do you keep tabs on your ex, Richie?
No.
No, because she moved here. Right?
What?
Didn't you? Oh.
That's a different woman.
That's a different one.
Oh.
Richie!
Oh.
He's a real catch. And release.
I'm like power bait. They bite and they won't let go.
But you're not curious what the... Because I look up, people I was into in high school. You don't look up an ex-wife?
No, not an ex-wife, no.
All right.
It was just a bad relationship. We were together for 8 years. So we were married for 3, but we were together for 8, like 8.5. So it was too long, too much.
Right.
I had enough of keeping tabs on her. I've done enough of that in my life.
Well, according to the Hot Mess Comedy Hour, she was a Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
Huh?
Your ex-wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was.
Did you guys get terrible. High before this? What's going on? Look, here's what's happening. We're going to talk for a little while.
What happened? What did we do wrong? Are we fucking this up already?
I think, you know what it is, I think. Because Micah was on. I'm talking. We've been doing this for about 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Not today, but. And Micah was on before and we gave a test. and we gave each person a piece of paper.
Right.
And we had them write down how much they were in love with the other person. Mm. And Micah blames that for destroying the relationship. And I think Micah is waiting now for this to be some kind of test or challenge.
That wasn't what destroyed my relationship. It was you asking if I wanted to get married. I recall that being... No, I'm kidding. Keith, how many relationships do you think you've ruined over the course of these 12 years?
I am... It's up there.
At least one of yours.
Right. No, people do blame me.
Do they?
Yeah. I don't think it's fair, but they do blame me.
How many relationships do you think he crushed? I'm going to say at least one.
At least Ray's.
Ray? Ray who?
DeVito. Oh.
Okay, so...
Never stop bringing it up.
Put me down for two, then.
Okay. All right.
Richie.
Yes.
I heard on the Hot Mess Comedy Hour that you love drugs and drugs are your favorite. You can't get enough of them.
Did I say that?
Mm-hmm. Word for,
I don't ever remember things I say on podcasts. I listen to my own from a week ago and I'm like, whoa, hold on, what?
They used to do meth, coke.
Yeah.
Glue.
Right. Yeah, I used to be real into them.
You're not anymore?
No, I'm not. Because
Mike is a cokehead.
Is she a cokehead?
She loves it.
How often do you have to do coke to be a cokehead?
5 times.
Total?
What?
Ooh, I know a lot of cokeheads.
I was like, then I'm like 5,000 cokeheads.
Okay, that's how we get to, yes, you are a cokehead. I would, okay, let's qualify this. Once a week is a cokehead? I don't think.
No, I wouldn't say. Right? I wouldn't think so.
Okay, so.
It's been over a month for me. Okay. I don't own any.
Wow.
But I'm just saying, like, I feel like a cokehead is someone who's, like, doing it on the regular.
Right.
And I am not.
I would say a cokehead is every day, every other day.
Can you go back and partake with your lady friend here?
Oh, no, I haven't in months. Many, many months.
Okay.
He's allowed to.
Do you get nervous that Micah does party?
No.
No?
No, she doesn't that much either. I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No.
How about meth?
No, I experimented. Right. I mean, it was in Arizona, you know? Okay. You have to.
Would it bother
when in
you
Rome.
If Micah took up shoe glue, would that be of concern?
Yeah. I took up shoe glue when I was 13. If she did it as a fully grown adult, I would have my concerns.
It's what I never got into. Like, my parents didn't have booze. I didn't hang out with friends.
And look at you now.
Right. I make it up for it.
See, that parents, it really helps.
It is
amazing how, like, Keith grew up in the country, which I know, like, at that point, you don't have as many corners as you do in New York to, like, cop whatever you need, you know. But I...
You sound very hip.
Right. Well, now that I've been in jail. But what I find interesting is he's in that small town, and he, because his parents had such a thumb over him, he actually did not get his hands on not any drugs, not any booze, because I didn't either before I left high school. But to me, it was a choice. Like, I knew where the alcohol was. If I really wanted drugs, I would. I mean, who was it? Not obvious a little bit. You just kind of befriend certain people. Right. It does prove to be a little harder than you need, but it is interesting that worked on you. So if you had got your hands on alcohol.
But if somebody told me I can just get glue. Who knows what would have happened?
I mean, I think Richie figured that out for himself. He was a real precocious child.
You're a real handyman, because I didn't even know you can be sniffing glue.
Oh, man. It was so much.
How did you find that out?
My friends and I were all skateboarders, and, like, you know, we grew up watching Jackass and everything. So we were just Anarchist Cookbook. That's what it was. We were looking at, like, different weird drugs and everything. And it was like, oh, huffing solvents is a thing. So we were all skateboarders. We had shoe glue because your shoes get destroyed.
You don't read.
Right.
So this is what you miss out on.
Yeah. So we had shoe glue. That was the thing that we had just had handy. There was no question of, like, hey, why do you kids have this industrial solvent or, you know, glue? It was for our shoes. So then we're like, hey, you know, put it in a bag and breathe out of it for a half hour. And then you just lose your mind.
Whoa. See, this is the difference between Richie and Keith growing up. Keith, you didn't have friends. And I don't mean that as a shitty thing.
Right.
Your parents didn't let you have friends.
They wouldn't let me have. I wouldn't have money to buy the Anarchist Cookbook.
Oh, you just download it off Kazaa.
Oh, excuse me. Well, in our day.
And so, okay, the first time you huffed, was it good?
It was great.
Was it great?
It was scary. It was really scary.
Why?
Why
is huffing glue scary? Let me ask you the real question.
That's the thing. I mean, like, I grew up watching like Rescue 911, and it was like you'd always hear this stupid, like, the stories of like kids, you know, huffing and just dying instantly. So like, I always knew the dangers of it, but I just like, I was going through like teenage depression and everything. And I just didn't know what was happening. I just lived in this like dystopic, you know, mentality of like, life is nothing. There's no point to it. So like.
Why? Was life nothing? Was it shitty?
Yeah, it was like Trainspotting. Have you seen Trainspotting, the movie?
I started to. Well,
he had to live in there's it just, for his entire childhood.
Well, no, there's like a good quote where it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to grow up, buy a microwave, buy a TV, go to work, do this, blah, 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 retire, die. It's just, it's a very, you know, when you look at, if your mindset is that framework of just like, you're going to live a boring life and then die.
Why did you think that?
I don't know. Because that's just how it seemed like life went.
What kind
went.
Of town were you growing up in?
Well, my parents have that story, that classic story. Like, oh, yeah, we just hitched up when we were 21 and we settled down and had kids and worked our jobs and we're going to retire at 65 and then travel.
Did all your friends sort of think like this? Was there,
I mean, that's that... Arizona is like a, it's very Florida-esque, like a very, it's a good place to retire. Everybody moved to Phoenix in the 80s. You know, the huge boom was like, it's a beautiful retirement community. Mm. We can just relax and have an easy life and it's cheap. And there's no hurricanes or alligators like Florida.
You seem so angry.
I'm so angry.
That's the most infuriating you can think of.
No, I have a huge disdain for Arizona. I think it's one of the most boring places on earth. And unless you're going to have kids and just die there.
Or like the color blue.
Were your parents upset that you did get divorced?
Oh, it was weird. It was. I didn't have any support through it. That's what was weird. It was like, everybody's like, even my mom and dad were like, we've never done it. You know?
Right. Okay.
What do you do?
Do you think the same way about Arizona?
Oh, yeah. I always say it's a terrible place to have grown up. Very boring. Absolutely. Yeah.
I didn't know Arizona was so boring, but now that I think, I'm trying to think of like what I've ever heard from Arizona, and it's nothing.
I mean, there's no neighborhood. All the houses are, there's so much land. Everything's so spread apart. It's too hot to like even play outside. I mean, Richie wasn't, you know, like, a small, like in Phoenix, so there was like more people. The houses were closer together, so you could like hang out like that. Scottsdale, you know, you're on an acre of land apiece. You know, to get to your closest friend's house is like a 8-minute bike ride away, and it's in 120 degree weather. It doesn't inspire community.
Right. Wow. I know you're not supposed to be Mexican.
Anymore. No.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But you weren't, right? You were never Mexican.
He looks kind of Mexican, right? Is that what you're trying to suss him out? You're trying to sniff him out?
I'm just checking.
What is INS on the way, Keith?
People are writing in. My parents had a house in Scottsdale. It was mind-numbingly boring. I just sat in the house all day.
It's horrible.
Yep.
In Arizona, you were, I don't know how old you were, but you passed a guy raping a kid.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Right.
Easy segue.
How old were you?
Yeah, good segue. 12?
12 years old.
I didn't pass
and
a guy.
You're,
I was.
You're
I was
saying things are boring. Okay. Yeah. Terrible joke. Terrible.
It wasn't for that kid.
It was a molestation, I guess. I don't know. What's the what's
rape.
The difference? But
it's,
yeah, sure. No, I mean, yeah, he was.
It's his dick in the kid's mouth.
Yeah.
That's some molestation.
I didn't walk by it. I didn't witness it. I was. These were two friends. You know, we were all skateboarding kids, and I was like 12. And there was an 8 and a 4-year-old that lived down the street, and they didn't have a mom, and they were always like hanging out with us big kids. And so we were skateboarding after school one day, and yeah, that happened to the 4-year-old.
And what do you do immediately?
Wait, what do you mean it happened? Like, how?
So this guy, I don't even know what his name is, but this guy would walk by. He was just like a neighborhood, you know, we'd always see him walking to and from work and every day. The older brother, the 8-year-old, and I were out skating a different stair set, and the 4-year-old was, you know, on his way or whatever, and just at a different part around the building. And all of a sudden, he was nowhere to be seen. We were like, yo, where's your brother? Right. And it was this guy. All of a sudden, this guy and this kid emerged from around the corner of a building together.
Oh, shit.
And the kid just books it to you know, the older brother and I, and he starts crying. Ugh. And I just had a bad feeling. The guy was, you know, trying to walk away really fast. And I was like, what happened? And you know, we sat him down and
you sat down the adult?
Sat down the little boy. No, and started talking and everything. And I went up to the guy and I was like, what did you say to him? And he was like, oh, I just asked him what time it was. And I'm like, I'm like, no, you didn't.
So this guy was still there?
Yeah, this guy was walking away. Like, we were on skateboards. You know, we were all walking kind of the same direction. My spider sense was tingling. I was like, something happened. Like, some bad shit just went down. And so, yeah, we eventually, you know, he was like motioning. The little kid was motioning to his mouth. And I was like, did he put something in your mouth? And he was like, yeah. I was like, fuck. So we went and I went and told his parents.
What was your first thought when he said, did you put something in your mouth?
I think I asked if it was like candy or drugs or something like that. He said no.
That's what I would
say. Right. And he said no. And I was like, okay, it was part of his, you know, his body or something like that. And he was like, yeah. So I was like, okay. So we went. And
did you ask what part?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. I think he said he put his pee-pee in my mouth or, you know, okay. I sussed something out. And so I went and told my parents and then we went and told his dad. And then, you know, we called the cops, filed the police report. We all, you know, went down to the station. And then 2 days later, we were skating in the same spot. And it was at a church right down the street from my house. And the church security guard was going by on a golf cart. And we were like, we flagged him down. We're like, hey, did you hear what happened? Watch out for this guy. And as we're talking to the security guard, the guy goes by on a bicycle. And we're like, go, get him now.
No way.
Yeah. So the guy in the golf cart's chasing down this guy in the bike. I run home and get my dad because, again, we're right by my house. So my dad's there. The guy's there. He's like, oh, yeah, no, it wasn't me. We need to catch this guy. This is horrible. And then so we're calling. The cops are on the way. And this guy.
Were you somewhat convinced? Like, did that? Because that can put doubt in your mind.
Oh, I knew. No. We knew it was him for sure. It was, you know, this. It's not New York City. There's only so many people walking through, you know, walking the same path. And
I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was the dude. So the cops are on the way and he's like still trying to play at the good guy. And he's realizing like, nah, he's busted. So he tries to leave. My dad chased him down and fought him off the bike. It was a huge pursuit through the neighborhood. My dad was like climbing over walls and Whoa. Like fighting with this guy. The guy clocked my dad in the head. But yeah, he went to jail and I was the only witness because the 4-year-old wasn't, you know, reliable enough of a witness. The 8-year-old wasn't. And
really?
the 12 or 13-year-old me was like the key witness.
What?
So I had to spend the day in court.
What? I would think the 4-year-old could just repeat what he said to a
what?
Right.
I mean, know, I think
not even in court, but like in one of those, this is what I see on TV. They have you play with the doll and they say, what?
Right. I think there were testimonies from, you know, some sort of psychologist or whatever, someone at the, you know, the night of that talked to him.
Right. Have you noticed that none of these dolls have penises though? You know?
Yeah, I know. That's weird. Yeah. No, I mean, it's
what
weird.
Happened to their penises? That's the big
Who
mystery.
Cut off all these dolls' penises.
Well, you are with a superhero, Micah.
I know. Good Even at 12, he's like good Sammy.
Yeah.
Your dad didn't, this might be a weird question, he didn't get in trouble for chasing after him and getting into a scuffle?
No.
Because I feel like that could be turned around.
I mean, yeah, maybe, I guess, but I mean, my dad wasn't swinging on him. He was like, no, stop, you're not going anywhere. He like grabbed the guy's bike, you know, and held it, and the guy swung at my dad. I think he hit him, but my dad was just kind of chasing him and trying to, you know, keep him around for the police.
I mean, citizen's arrest, right?
I don't know. Right. I think that's what ended up happening to me when I went to jail. You know what? This morning I was like, how do I know they were cops?
Right.
Can I just tell you one thing that I remember? We went to like book me, apparently.
Right.
We went to the back of the court where literal rats were. Okay. We were like knocking on a door and they're like, I guess they're not here. And we're
what?
Yeah, we're watching people do things, but I guess the guard for that door wasn't there. So we just were waiting in the cold, me handcuffed, two cops, and just rats.
They probably thought you were a terrorist. Horrible. This was probably some terrorism like espionage shit.
Yeah, they kept calling me Chemda. I was like, no, Chemda. No. Yeah. I didn't know such thing.
You're like, no, it's Allahu Akbar.
Does he feel bad not trying to say, you know what? Citizen's arrest, I have this one.
I'll take her in. Yeah.
Did Hennessy talk about, hey, if I do get taken to jail, since this whole thing came up, I'm gonna say I'm a woman. I can't fight the good fight forever.
Well, we talked about that because they were about to arrest him. Well, they said that they can arrest him for not having ID. So, and they can arrest me for not having anything, so it doesn't matter. So they could have arrested him. So I was like, I don't think that you should go to male prison just because female prison is easier. But he recently started to change his IDs to male. So now we have, even the police, when they, quote, pulled us over, they were like, are you male or female? And he said male. And that kind of panicked me a little bit after I thought about it. Because I'm like, of course, he's going to say male. But it panicked me after because he just started the paperwork. So some of the things might say female, some might say male. And he hasn't transitioned physically yet. But he cut his hair. Oh, my God. No female has ever had, you know, short hair.
No woman in prison has short hair.
Yeah. So all these things. And while I was getting booked, I was like, ooh, this will be awkward if I was trans. This would be awkward if I was trans. And I'm like, I'm so glad they took me in. I actually had that thought. I was like, fuck it. If one person's going to get in, I'm going to have an easier time.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's bullshit too, because I had Lauren on my podcast and asked him that specific fucking question. I was like, when you go to jail, are you going as a man? He said, hell no. I won't go. And then he fucking had the balls to say.
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you about
this
fucking guy.
Give me a fucking break.
No, he forgets. He forgets. We have to practice this all the time. I'm like, okay, if we get pulled over or like if we, you know, whatever. Oh, you know what? I didn't follow my own directions. I'm like, let's shut the fuck up. We don't tell them anything, you right. know? Like, you have the right to remain silent, right? And that's why they acted all innocent. But yeah, you don't remember right. these things.
How
I fall asleep watching cop block videos like every night.
What? How do you even sleep?
I don't know.
Cop
block? Have you ever seen those?
No.
Oh my God, they're beautiful. It's all like the know your rights kind of people, but they make videos of like pulling up to the, like especially in Arizona, they have the immigration checkpoints and all that. So you pull up and they're like, hi, are you a U.S. citizen? And you're like, is this Nazi Germany? Do I have to answer that question? And they get so mad because they think they have the right to do that, but they don't. And so there's just people fighting with, you know, they're just blocking cops from infringing upon your right to not have to identify yourself.
Are you concerned that this is how you fall asleep?
I'm just saying, this story gets me so fired up. I'm like, don't tell him anything. Like,
you want to sleep now.
Such a disdain for like bad policing.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Oh, I think I might actually have something on my record years ago. She should say, "Am I being detained?
Exactly.
Am I being detained?"
I mean, yes, technically that's your right, but none of them follow that. I got you know, pulled aside for having, you know, open container of cocaine. And, you know, I like, you know, you hear the sirens, you throw the can. Right. You know, what's the problem, officer? Right. And the guy was like, give me your ID. And I was like, did I do something wrong? You know, like, what the fuck am I being detained for? And he goes, did I stutter? And I was like, are you in a movie? Like, what are we talking about? Did I stutter? This ain't the fucking Breakfast Club. I know my rights. I may be drunk as hell, officer. Good thing I didn't finish that beer. But then, like, he was like, did I stutter? And I'm like, ah, fuck, I got black friends with me. I'll just give you my ID. I don't need to fucking create a huge problem.
Well, I guess that would help put you to sleep. You know your rights, you know?
You can sleep well in jail.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, that's very helpful.
Yeah, I guess rather than saying I fall asleep to it, when I can't fall asleep, I just stare at my phone and watch. I get into these black holes of cop block videos.
Yeah, I go to the movie theater. I try to sneak food in. If they catch me, I go, am I being detained?
I love it.
They let me go. It's too much. Yeah. Chuck Berry died the other day, and they, of course, the newspapers are saying, you know, how great he is, and everybody, of course, knows Chuck Berry. And then a couple days went
by. It's all the songs that you're sick of at bar mitzvahs and weddings.
Right. So now they're allowed to tell the truth. And apparently
he wrote the electric slide.
Really. And the cha-cha slide. Very strange. It was controversial.
Berry, who died of natural causes on Saturday at age 90, is widely credited for helping create rock and roll in the 50s with a string of hits, including Johnny B. Goode and Roll Over Beethoven. Following two trips to the Slammer, first at the height of his fame in the early 60s for transporting a 14-year-old girl across state lines for sex, and again in a 1979 for tax evasion, Berry was busted over a 1990 drug raid in his estate in Missouri. Although authorities suspected him of transporting huge loads of cocaine in his guitar case as part of a multi-million dollar drug operation. Wow.
Really?
The search turned up only 2 ounces of pot, some hashish, 2 rifles, and a shotgun.
How do you get 2 rifles and a guitar?
It's a huge fucking guitar.
It was an upright bass.
Ugh. As well as $122,000 in cash. But the cops also found a huge stash of pornography, including dozens of videotapes, trays of photographic slides and books, and some of which show underage girls. He publicly denied ever using the coke. Go with the porn, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
I did plenty of coke.
No one's upset about the coke.
Right.
He probably put the porn in there so he could get off from the coke charges. Everyone's like, forget about the coke.
He had a penchant for sexual fetishes involving bodily excretions, and he loved to spy on women in the bathroom.
What? That's not a love. You don't list that like he loves walking on the beach. He loves spying on women in the bathroom.
This is why you can't get famous. Everything becomes boring.
You're like,
music is my job. My passion, though.
He made homemade videos that were found of him. He'd record women's bathrooms, and he'd put them over the toilet, and he'd edit them and put them together. And give them to, I guess, friends.
What the fuck? Why are we just knowing about this now? This newspaper had this access? Like, what are we...
He installed hidden
cameras. 90 years.
What? We already got Cosby. We got to take down Chuck Berry, too.
He installed hidden cameras in the women's restrooms.
Do you know what kind of AV club shit that is? Like, can you just do that? Wait, Richie can.
Yeah. I want to see the edited clips. Like,
right.
I was like funny little ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
You know, I want to know what he took out. She's still peeing.
The recordings were then painstakingly edited and compiled in a pair of toilet tapes that showed hundreds of women and girls, quote, in the act of relieving themselves.
Fuck you.
Sometimes the frame is frozen for a few seconds.
Whoa, that's when you're extra special.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. Let's slow this down.
He settled for $830,000 in a class action suit filed by dozens of women who claimed they had been taped in the bathroom. He also settled a similar suit filed by a former restaurant worker and another woman for $310,000.
How are you allowed to settle for money?
Right.
Like, how is that a thing? You either broke the law or you don't. You don't have, like, $1 million.
It was a civil suit.
So they
brought the action against him, not the state.
It's just weird.
So it's
that
up
that's
to them
thing.
To be able to say, yeah, we'll shut up about it for money.
Yeah, but defamation.
Doesn't the state go, hey, this is on the record. This is illegal. And also... These tapes, there's no one there to be like, no, not me. There's enough evidence for some kind of...
Yeah, why wasn't it...
He's rich? Because he's rich?
Yeah.
That's a good way to get out of jail. Yeah. Just money.
Barry was accused of punching a woman in the mouth during an early morning dispute at the Gramercy Park Hotel. Friends described Marilyn O'Brien Bottler as a 30-something rock singer who dated Barry, whom she slapped with a $5 million suit that claimed she needed 5 stitches as a result of the smack. Barry was charged with assault but failed to appear in court in June of 1988, leading to a bench warrant for his arrest. He later plea bargained to a lesser charge of harassment. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Harassment. Mm. And was sentenced to a $250 fine.
What? $250?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, these black men get away with everything.
So next time you're dancing, just remember...
That's why they made Michael J. Fox play that song in the movie. They knew.
Now, I heard, I was reading a story about Roman Polanski wants to come back to America. So his lawyer is talking on his behalf and saying, hey.
I'm done now. I want to come back.
Right.
How long has it been? 2 minutes?
He's like, it's been so long.
He should 1 year away for every boy that he touched.
Roman Polanski's lawyer asked the judge to signal how the director would be sentenced. He's like, maybe he'll come back. What does it look like he'll get, though, if he comes back?
I guess you can say shit like that.
Yeah. Why doesn't the cop go, it's fine, he's not under arrest, come on over.
Right.
Everything's good.
Yeah, apparently you don't have to tell people.
A judge heard the arguments in this 40-year-old case where he fucked a 13-year-old, you know, drugged her, fucked her in the ass. Polanski's lawyer, can you imagine being his lawyer? What case are you working on? Director. What? What, honey?
Oh, I mixed him up with Sandusky.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, boys.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you guys were just looking at me blankly and just let me continue.
I actually don't know who this is.
That's cool. That's cool.
This is the guy who directed Lolita, ironically.
Right. Interesting. Right. Yeah. Right. Ugh. I mean, when you have Woody Allen making all these movies where whether he's playing him or somebody's playing him, the guy's old, the woman's practically underage if she's not. Is he just laughing at us?
Who, Allen?
Woody Allen. Here's another movie, an 80-year-old fucking a 16-year-old. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yes, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, somebody should ask him that in an interview. Because right. The answer is yes.
Polanski's lawyer said he was trying to find a solution for a unique case, while a prosecutor said the Oscar winner was trying to get special treatment and dictate the case from afar. Well, of course he is.
It wouldn't be a story if he wasn't trying. You think right. Not a lot of lawyers are trying to see what the climate is for their client. Right.
The hearing was the first time in 7 years that an LA judge has considered Polanski's case, which dates back to 1977. He was accused of plying a 13-year-old girl with champagne and part of a sedative pill, then raping her at actor Jack Nicholson's house. Polanski pleaded.
Whoa.
Yeah. Jack's like, well, no,
I know. Yeah. Jack's like, I only fuck 18-year-olds.
Polanski pleaded guilty to unlawful sex with a minor, but fled Los Angeles on the eve of sentencing in 1989. Since then, his movements have been restricted to Europe. Yeah, of course, he's been putting out movies just fine. The victim said she forgives the Rosemary's Baby director and believes the case should end.
It was, I think it was Rosemary's Baby and not Lolita.
Wait, who did Lolita? Kubrick?
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
That was from Nana. Thank you. There's no way I would have known that.
Polanski, 83, has long contended that he's the victim of judicial misconduct.
What?
Because a now-deceased judge suggested privately that he would renege on a plea bargain, calling for no more time behind bars after he spent 42 days undergoing screening. So he's saying, I was told behind the scenes, everything's fine.
What am I going to do, argue with him? Of course you were told something different.
Right. Jeez.
But
I was promised.
But you're one of the people who should be behind bars.
Right.
I mean, come on. There are no more 13-year-old girls. Let them back.
She's not 13 anymore.
Right, yeah. She's got to be like, what? Way too old for him to fuck.
And plus, where's he going to get the drugs from this time? Someone's going to really sell him drugs? No.
I'll do it.
Hasn't enough. I've seen people's comments. Hasn't enough time gone by? What is wrong with
how
people?
Much time would have to go by for you to want to chill with your rapist?
Right. Mm.
You
know? Well, she said she forgave him, though.
Yeah.
And then he's going
to
be on
I think that's so fucking weird to even go up. I mean, I guess if you just wanted to be over, though. If
that's
you
for
stop.
Her, yeah.
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 You forgive someone because you want to stop.
Right. She forgives. I do not forgive.
Right.
That's her point. She's like, no, I get to forgive. You guys get to keep him out of the country so I can continue to forgive over here.
Yeah, I don't care if Rihanna forgave Chris Brown. I didn't.
Right.
So, you know, you get punished for it. Not as...
He's doing fine.
Right, right. Well, I guess what? He was in the news again. He beat up another girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm starting to...
Oh, he found love again.
I'm looking sideways at this guy. They ended up finding... Everybody relax, by the way. The jersey that was stolen from Tom Brady at the Super Bowl. He took his jersey off, the, you know, winning jersey, put it in his locker, and all of a sudden it was gone.
Let me guess. Is this where you put the dirty clothes, or is this where you put the dirty clothes? You know what? Football just confuses me. So, like, the laundry.
The feds tracked down the Super Bowl
the
51
feds,
jersey. The
ladies
feds.
And gentlemen, the feds. Well, that's how God. Important football is. Thank and I God. Get that it's a hot commodity and there's financial, you know, shit associated with it. But come on.
Right. Who took the jersey? The Russians?
No, that means they wouldn't
right.
look for it.
Give me a fucking ring.
They found it in Mexico City.
Of course, build that wall.
The thief was identified as a newspaper executive, Mauricio Ortega.
What kind of decision making is this?
These bad hombres.
He was spotted sneaking out of the Patriots locker room with Brady's number 12 in a bag tucked under his arm.
Oh, I'm so glad we got to the bottom of this. Obviously, it was genius detective work.
I want to see the movie immediately.
This is in the news. What page is this wonderful news on?
It's on the front cover. The jersey is valued at $500,000. Now, how you would sell it, I have no idea.
Right.
You can only tell your friends, like, hey, don't tell nobody, but...
Yeah.
You fucking imagine?
In Mexico?
Right.
I'm sure they're all right.
But it wasn't the only major discovery. He also had one that Brady wore in the 2015 Super Bowl.
He's such a fan.
He also had a helmet that belonged to Denver Broncos' Von Miller, which was taken from the 2016 Super Bowl.
This is his press release of his launch.
This guy's great at his job. This guy's really talented.
I have no problems with what he's doing.
The FBI reviewed surveillance and saw that when the coach, Bill Belichick, entered the locker room, he snuck in behind him.
How long has this been? Magical.
What, was all this evidence in Hillary's emails?
We finally looked at him. The leader of the FBI, Comey.
The leader of the entire FBI?
Yeah. Yeah. He said.
I'm just blown away.
Why is the
by
FBI
this job
involved
title.
In this? This is crazy.
Said that the Patriots represent sustained excellence.
Shush. Shush. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Which one of them have raped someone? Because there's one on every team. Oh, my God. What? What did they call them?
They have sustained excellence. Just saying.
Sustained excellence. Mm-hmm. That's what the leader of the FBI said.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't. I mean, you're not going to have tough
cases. Did you watch the Super Bowl this year? It was fucking incredible. I don't care who they raped. No one's ever seen a Super Bowl like that. They could have like made the whole halftime show Lady Gaga getting raped. And I'd have still been more impressed by that fucking second half.
Ah, perspective. Thank you, Micah.
I mean, I don't even know what happened, but I know it was exciting. Let's turn it on, Keith. Let's watch the highlights.
Do you get into football?
No. Just for gambling.
Okay.
Nice.
I didn't realize that as a kid. I was like, why does everybody like sports? And it's just to gamble. It's to bet on. I was like, who watches boxing? It's only if you have money riding on it. That's the only people who care about it.
Nah, some of those guys look pretty good hitting each other.
I don't know who invented the ass slap, but okay.
What kind of betting do you do?
High stakes? All kinds.
Like Keith is crazy. Keith just got excited. Look how he's leaning forward. Because he'll bet down to like the coin toss, the what kind of commercials are there.
Sure. I love it all. Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
I'll gamble on everything and anything. I mean, as far as high stakes are concerned, I mean, relative to how much money I have, yes, it's always high stakes.
Okay.
Do you Richie drink? Is all $10, in on everything.
If I have $10, I'm betting $9.
Do you drink Bud Light?
No.
Sorry, Keith. Oh my God.
Yeah, we can't.
What do you guys do?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's why Micah and I don't hang. She does coke. I do weed.
I do weed. Don't besmirch my reputation.
Well, that's how much we hang out.
Right.
We just don't coke hang out.
Right.
JC Crow 21 is excited that I'm reading The Bell Jar. I saw it in...
Sorry. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Keith is into reading now.
Imagine the fiery...
Sylvia Plath, really?
Ooh, that's right. Well, I don't know. I just saw a book and I'm like, I hear people like reading. Let's see what this is about.
I hear people like reading.
It seems a thing. It's catching on. And so I got it for $1. And I read the first line. And it says, it was a queer, sultry summer. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I, you know, want to read...
That's exactly how Anne Frank starts her book.
It's a very homosexual day, and I had to be quiet. So this person says, imagine the fiery debates we can have when Keith reads this book about the merits of electroshock therapy and how the 50s were really bad. We may have to wait for the movie to come out. Then this person says, fuck, that was a joke, but I just found this. The Bell Jar 2018 IMDb, Dakota Fanning starring, ooh, Kirsten Dunst directing.
Oh, my God. I want to see this.
Yeah, so I'm done with this book. Right in the garbage. Bye. Thank you.
Well, what if you don't live to 2018, Keith?
Well, he already ruined it for himself. He went to the last page.
Oh, yeah. Talks right about the bell jar at the end.
Well, he didn't want to commit to it being about bells or jars until he understood that there was a through line here.
Yeah. So at the end, if you're curious.
Spoiler alert.
It was still queer. Wasn't queer.
She goes, and the bell jar was the queerest of them all.
Really?
The bell jar. Yeah.
Huh.
That's something.
Wow. Yeah.
So she gets the bell jar, it turns out. So, okay.
So you're good.
I'm done. Yeah.
Reading wasn't as hard as you thought.
Yeah. Next is Romeo and Juliet. I turn to the last page. Ooh, ouch. I'm done.
It seems to be a theme with this guy.
Right.
You know, there are like a bunch of Romeo and Juliet movies.
Oh, he's talking about the book, the original.
Oh, the book.
The book.
The bookification.
By the way, speaking of the Hot Mess Comedy Hour, I see that they have a Patreon, and these are some of the greatest rewards I've ever seen.
Yep, I signed us up.
Yeah. Yes. What, for $1, make us come. $1 or more per month.
Yeah, so if all your exes are going like, you never made me come.
Right.
Well, it was you. It wasn't me.
Right. Trust me, Andrew and Emily did. They had to by law. I gave $2. Every time we get $1, we come. This is
like both of you, or do we need to give $2 for both of you to
come?
Can
I say who I'm aiming it to? Like, you work for me now, so I need Emily to do it. This is 100% based in fact. Give us your love and make us come.
That's for $1. Right.
$5, you get a personal shout out. I'd rather know you were dripping.
It's a personal shout out while they're coming.
Okay. I'm like, no, here's. I'm giving dollars separately. I'm not giving you a $5 bill. I don't care about
shout
out.
Wait, so for $5, do you have to come 5 times in a row?
Do you have to? You won to.
For $6, can I hear what you did? Yeah.
Sounds exhausting.
$10 a month or more, same as $5, but you also get to join us in our once per month chat party on Facebook Messenger. For $25, you get access to a monthly bonus episode. For $50, you get a one-on-one 420 friendly hang with us. For 1 hour, we will get weird with you on video. Weird meaning goofy. If you jerk off in front of us, we will end you. But I could do it under the table.
That's the challenge part of this Patreon. How far into the conversation can you get without getting the cam turned off?
58 minutes, so close. $100 or more a month, same as $50, and we will also mail you a pair of our worn panties. Well, God forbid I got Randy during the video. Now I get your panties.
Can we just pause for a moment?
Yeah.
You could make a lot more money just selling your underwear. You don't have to do this dollar to come bullshit.
It's about
you
the art.
You could just go straight for the underwear.
Yes, but that's why their show is the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
Do you get a pair of panties per month?
Every month, yeah.
Let's it's a Patreon
subscription panties.
It means they're still scrubbing floors. Let's give them a break.
$500 per a month, $100 plus they take a photo of them wearing said panties.
Wow.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Wow, whoa. You guys are hot messes.
Yeah.
Can anyone do this or just you two?
Just us two.
It's patreon.com/hotmess, but it's easy to find people's Patreons. So here's the thing. If they get only 30 by the end of the month, Patreon will give them a bonus. Oh. 30 people, even at $1?
Look at that.
That's pretty cool.
That's a couple panties. I would go to a thrift store. That can add up.
That can add up. Right? Yeah. I hope they're ready.
Keith, Tale of Two Cities tells you everything in the first sentence. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Done. There you have it. Micah Fox. The Twitter account is at Micah Fox.
Can you believe it?
She tells it like it is. Right?
I tell it like it was.
Right. You ever see Star Trek The Next Generation?
I don't know.
Richie, have you?
Hemda loves it. Hemda loves
it. He's asking for me. Can I pose a question to you guys, even though you don't watch it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to give you the idea. And I know, like, don't tune out yet, okay? There's a holodeck on Star Trek The Next Generation. What you do is you create a program of whenever you want, of whatever you want. So if you want a meadow in 1952 or, you know, 2012 or whatever, they set it up how it would look in the sunshine or the rain or whatever. You can create people. Those people interact with you like they're people. And then you get out of the holodeck. It's, you know, that's the end of your holiday and your time off, whatever.
You're like, I have a free hour. Computer, make it the best of times and the worst of times. And then you live that life.
Yeah, and then if you want to continue that program, you ask the computer to save it and you could start from where you went to. Okay, so great, right? This is awesome. So,
I actually think it sounds incredibly sad.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a vacation.
Away from reality because
vacation.
Your life is so sad. Don't you want to go experience something real?
All your friends are dying.
What do you think Coke is?
A party?
You can create a Coke party in the holodeck.
No, or you could just do some fucking Coke in real life, get into some real fucking trouble, Hemda.
But you're in space.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, that's why it's fucking sad. You're in the middle of nowhere and you're like, I have to pretend to smell a flower. Even homeless people get to smell real flowers. What kind of future is this?
Make a garden, right?
I want to kill myself just thinking about the holodeck.
Well, I think it's lovely.
Whatever, but it's the Matrix. It's the shit part of the Matrix.
Yeah. It sounds like Wally with all the fat people on little couches just watching TVs. That's what that is.
At least in the Matrix, he gave himself a good steak.
Well, you're not going to like this, okay? Because okay.
If you hate the holodeck, you'll extra hate what I'm about to do next.
Well, I was.
Well, anyway, we bought one.
Yeah. Oh, cool, cool. Let me try it.
You're actually in it right now. Oh. This is your paradise.
Just rip out my eyeballs.
We'll see you guys later.
I guess we have been together for a year.
Okay, but the Star Trek, The Next Generation, I think it's incredible. I think it's like, you know, I've talked about this before. It's a big philosophy lesson. They always try to, you know, pick the best case scenario in order for as many people to, quote, win as possible, as many people to walk away unscathed as possible. Now, the holodeck, someone was in it. This is a guy that they're depicting as like basically Aspie, and this is, you know, when Aspie was just introduced. He doesn't know how to deal with people. He's stumbling and bumbling all over himself. They can't even understand how they even got to the number one ship in the world, you know.
He's a snake.
Well, it turns out he's just, you know, kind of Aspie, right? So he goes into the holodeck, and this is what he does. He recreates the people in Starfleet. So he recreates, you know, his commander, and he has him like punching him out and stuff, like getting into a fight. You know, he beats up his
superiors.
He has all the, because he's such a wuss, you know, right, outside of it, he's the strongest guy in this. And they're like, oh, you're so great and wonderful. And Deanna is like all into him, you know, sexually. And she's like kissing on him.
Who's
and
Deanna?
Stuff. She's a person that he works with.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So he's
dropping names at this point. I'm like, whoa.
Fair enough. So I thought that was weird at first, but then I'm like, no, this is just fantasy. It's like you're jerking off in your head. You're probably jerking off to Deanna, right? Although I think that's weird that you can. So that's one. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think it's weird that you can physically touch this person in the holodeck, you know, and actually make out and sleep with them?
Like somebody could rape me.
Yeah, you're recreating. Well, they're not
but
raping.
They're not really there.
Yeah.
Right. I think this is the perfect solution to pedophilia.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that's one. Then the second thing that I'm having trouble with is they were looking for him. They couldn't find him or whatever.
He's fucking kids.
No. They went into his holodeck in the middle of his fantasy. Just do, and the door opens and they're like, what's this? And I'm like, what's this? The guy's fantasy. And then they start judging him based on it and start debating whether it's okay to use, you know, people that you know. And like they start, you know, feeling weird about it.
This is like the Ashley Madison leak. This is what happened at the Ashley Madison. You're like, you're not, this is private information. I paid for this to be private.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I don't understand. They're in space. They're from the future. And they don't think about, maybe this can be abused. What do they? What do they think they created?
First thing we faxed was tits.
Yeah.
Well,
we said fields in 1952. Of course, we created the ability to make anything, but we didn't think you'd do that.
In order to get on the ship,
we fields. Who would pick fucking their friends?
But these people usually, I mean, it's depicted as they make the right decision, the most moral decision, the most thoughtful and, you know, friendly version of.
Oh, they think people are good?
Hmm. Well, they are good on this show, but okay.
Oh, 6,000 crew members.
Right, you do. No,
this is like the purge. You go in there to just purge all the shit you want to do. That's how it should be. You shouldn't be. You don't live a happy life and then go think about happy things. You think about all the bad shit that you just avoided.
Right.
That they come into the holodeck and they go, what do you do? You're fucking your coworker. And you go, I'm fucking the coworker. Look in the corner. I have Riker blowing Picard.
Right.
What are you guys doing?
Right. What if that's what you're doing? Like, so what, right?
At any time somebody took, like, let's say you're cheating on the spaceship, right? And then somebody goes, I found
pictures. With another spaceship?
With another spaceship. You say, oh, I found that. Somebody says, I found pictures of you fucking somebody else. And you go, somebody put that together in the holodeck. It's bullshit.
Yeah, they screen capped your holodeck.
Yeah.
that's fucked up, right?
You should be allowed to walk in. You can do whatever you want, but people will walk in.
That's all I would do in there is masturbate in the sun. What?
No, that's, your holodeck can be you walking in on other people's holodeck.
Yes.
That's what you can do. But you cannot go into other people's holodeck.
Okay, I'm with
only in your own holodeck can you do that.
You just solved everything.
Can they go like play last holodeck?
Yeah.
That's wrong.
That's right? Fucking awesome.
Micah.
That's the only part I would do.
Sick, right?
I'd fuck everybody's storylines.
Well, I assume. I don't know that anyone ever did that, but you can start it up. So I guess if you knew the file name, you know what I mean? Right.
No, you shouldn't be able to access other people's, right? Though. But in your own head, if you're like, right. I think Micah does this, you would be able to envision seeing her doing that in her holodeck.
How
and
sad
fucking
is
with that?
I'm going to make up what someone else sees in their holodeck. Well, like, that is the saddest of all the uses.
If you're walking around people's holodeck.
I'd rather find out you were fucking kids in there than just trying to figure out what was in my holodeck.
I want a bigger field. What kind of field would she have?
How good is their imagination? Sucks. Oh, my holiday's over? Okay.
I mean, after every holodeck, do they shoot everybody in it? Because that's what I would do.
Like every bad improv scene, it's like, oh,
Alyssa is saying, yes, people have called up the other people's programs. And here's what Alyssa and I are doing. We're watching it and sending each other when we see fucking ridiculous rape scenes. I'm telling you.
Wait, I thought they were all good on the show.
Yes. So the next generation understands pretty much everything except that women are getting assaulted and they just kind of go, yeah, that happened. Like one time.
What?
They accused Riker of a commanding officer of killing someone. While he was away
Spoiler.
On a mission. While he was away on the mission. They also...
They accused, all right? They didn't prove it.
They also, at the same time, someone accused him of attempted rape or rape. I don't know if they ever went through with it. Once he was cleared for murder, they were like, you know, I guess he didn't do the rape. Like, not... He wasn't even brought up again. Yeah. It was like, well, he is a good guy. He didn't kill anyone. Why would he... What?!
I bet there's so many great rape scenes that they cut out right before it went to air. So all these like just loopholes, like plot holes, they're like, no, you can't air that. All right. But we're not going to sew this up, though.
I can't agree with you because they sew up a lot of things very beautifully. And
Except for those rape wounds.
Right. Yeah. The rape things. I just saw another one last night.
Are you fucking all the Ferengi again? This is my dream!
Oh my God, I saw one where the Ferengi is keeping Deanna's mom... Cap in captain and she has to be his sex slave. And by the way, when they got her back from being a sex slave, they were like, yay, we did it, she's back, she's fine now. No one accused this guy of rape.
Hemda, is it possible you were arrested for talking about Star Trek?
have you guys ever seen Cheers?
Uh-huh.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Cheers or Chairs?
Anything.
But what if they're what if they can do like intensive psychotherapy in the holodeck? What if you do come back from being a sex slave forever? You're like, just throw her in the holodeck for an hour. Just make her, you know, and just make her deal with all of her trauma.
Well, at least you'll deal with it. They just ignored it.
Well, they're just not showing you the part. They're just not showing you the part where they go through psychotherapy.
Now,
Kendall
wants to see people's holodecks. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's her business. Now, it should just say words on the screen. Assume they got therapy.
You know what's sick? Is
you opened up Pandora's holodeck.
What's rich is Richie started talking to me. I'm like, oh, you're taking me seriously. What do you have to say?
Richie has the podcast. What's your problem with Justy Dodge? And you guys do it at Justy's house, so there's no excuse for her not showing up. That's smart.
And it's never going to end because there's a lot of problems.
Right. She really thinks she has no problems. Do you know that?
That's
no.
Not true.
No, that's not true.
She's
all.
Got 99 problems, and they're all on her arm.
And back and thigh.
Yeah.
And Mike,
cutting joke, everybody.
Mike has a podcast, too.
That's called right.
Shame On.
Shame On.
With Karen Feehan.
That's right.
You don't fuck around. You make people cry.
Nobody's cried on camera, but a few people have after the show.
See? They cried after. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Richie's Twitter account is Richie Tollway, TOLWAY.
Mm-hmm.
And download these people's podcasts, and that's it.
Thanks for having me,
Keith. That was great.
What more can I say here?
I don't know. I thought you were going to try and break us up.
No.
Yeah, she was giving me a pep talk for the last week or so.
I was like, remember, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah, she's like, you can plead the fifth. You don't have to answer their questions. Don't feel intimidated.
Is it worse that he just thinks you guys are going to break up on your own?
Okay, both of you look at me. Do not talk to each other.
Oh, shit. Lebowski. Keith, Lebowski is coming up with an idea for you. They can just go in the holodeck and pretend they're on Cheers.
Oh, that's a good one. That I would understand. Okay. Without looking at each other, no cheating or mumbling of any kind, rate down 1 to 10 how much you love the other person. Go ahead.
Micah's looking straight at Keith, and okay. I already see it, and Richie has it. Okay.
Let's see Richie's.
They played by the rules.
Richie, 10.
Nice. Can't be higher than that.
Micah.
Except.
100.
What the fuck, Richie?
One of you doesn't know math. Fight.
thank you guys very much. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. Every show we've ever done, including all the spinoff shows. Check it out, and we'll talk to you, soon. We'll be around. KeithandTheGirl.com.